Well, right. Okay.
Now we're holding on page Vav in Yerushalmi Shkolim, beginning Eloheinu Amorim Perek Hamishim. Since the Masechta talks about the collection of Matzah Shekel, so it all kind of digresses through part of the Masechta to talk about different things about the operations of the Beis Mikdash. Now the daily order of the Talmud, that's in a different Masechta, Masechta Talmud, but here it goes into describing some of the finances and the operations of the Beis Mikdash. So the Mishnah starts by saying, in Mishnah Rishona, the Elohim HaMemunim Shoyu Oisim HaMikdash. The following were the officers, the overseers, whatever you want to call them, that were in the Beis Mikdash, who were in charge of different things. So altogether, the Mishnah lists 15 of them. Not all of them are here in Ein Yaakov, but it has some of them. Yochanan ben Pinchas ala Chaisamos. Yochanan ben Pinchas was, and we're going to, and the Gemara talks about where these names come from. Were they the original holders of these offices? We'll talk about that soon. So Yochanan ben Pinchas was in charge of the Chaisamos, of the stamps, of the vouchers. Later, Mishnayos and the Perek describe like this. A person brings a korban, and Ola, Shlomim, certain other kinds of karbonis, they have to bring the sochim with them, of flour, wine, and oil. Now, mele the animal, a person can go buy an animal from anywhere and bring it, and all they have to do is check whether it has a mum or not. And if it doesn't have a mum, then we're good. But when it comes to the flour, wine, and oil, those have to be prepared, al taras ha-kodesh. Those have to be prepared to the standards of kodesh, very high standards of tara, and most people are not familiar with that. So they set up a system in the Beis Mikdash where you would go to this and Pinchas and pay him money and get basically a voucher that says you're entitled to X amount of nesachim, a certain amount for cattle, a certain amount for ram, etc., according to the amounts that it says in the Torah. Then you would go to the next fellow mentioned over here in the Mishnah, Achia ala Slosis, Achia, who was in charge of the flour. In the Mishnayos and in the printed Mishnayos instead the Girsa is Al Nesachim, that he was in charge of the Nesachim. So you would go to him, you would give him the stamped voucher, and you would get your amount of flour and wine and oil that you need for your korban. Each one of these memunim, by the way, had various other people working underneath him. Achia, Yochanan ben Pinchas, for example, you don't just have him managing the office to collect the money and give out the vouchers. You had a whole team that was working under him. And the same thing with Achia, and the same thing with the rest of them. Next, Masya ben Shmuel ala Piosis. Masya ben Shmuel was in charge of the pious. Mishnah tells us in Yuma that four times a day they would have a pious. They would have all the kohenim stand in a circle and do a finger count to see who's going to do the various avodas. So there was someone in charge of that. His name was Masya ben Shmuel. Next, Psachya ala Kinin. Psachya was in charge of the Kinin. Now that meant two things. First of all, you have people, a cane means a nest, so it means a pair of birds. Many times a person has to bring two birds as a korban, typically one chatas and one oila. A woman who's poor and gave birth, a zav, a zava, there's various other examples where a person has to bring two birds as a korban. So first of all, what you had is, later on in the Masechta, it describes there were a bunch of pushkas in the Beis Mikdash, a bunch of shofaris, as the Mishnah calls them, because they were shaped kind of like a shofar in that they're narrow on top and wide on bottom. But anyway, they were basically pushkas, and one of them was labeled kinin, which is a person needs to bring two birds like that. Instead of having to bring the actual two birds, they could instead put money enough for the two birds into that box. And one of Psachia's jobs then is to make sure that by the end of the day, all the money in that box has been used to buy birds for korbanos, and the korbanos have been brought because people need them. For example, a woman putting that money into the box, she needs those that korban needs to be brought before she's allowed to eat kodshim or enter the Beis Mikdash. So they need to make sure it gets done. So that was one of his jobs. The other part of his job was, and this is the Gemara is going to focus on more, is he also had to be a great linguist, because a lot of times people would bring their actual money or their actual birds, and they might explain themselves in a way that's very difficult for the average person to understand. But Psachia, being identical with Mordechai, he was an expert in all the languages, so he would be able to decipher these kinds of things. Part of that also included, by the way, Yabal Masechta Mishnayos, one of the most difficult Masechtas, called Masechta Kinim, which deals with all kinds of cases. cases where you have mix-ups among the birds, you can have, unlike animals, which don't, you know, it's more easy to keep them in a corral and keep them from wandering around. Birds can easily flit around from one place to another. So you have a masechta over there that deals with all kinds of complicated things that happen when you have birds mixed up that were supposed to be some for chata, some for ola, and all the different permutations. So Psachia's job was also to straighten out those kinds of situations. Anyway, Psachia zem Mordechai, so he's identical with Mordechai from the Megillah. V'lom nikra shmei Psachia shepaseach b'dvorim b'dorshin. He was able to open up things and darshan them, meaning, as the Gemara is going to give several examples, where he was able to, he had very obscure statements that people would make, and he was able to figure them out via Deir b'shivim loshin, and he knew all 70 languages. Which, by the way, elsewhere, the Gemara talks about that all the members of the Sanhedrin had to know the languages. Our Gemara is going to say a little differently, but the Tosfos actually discusses it in one of the places in the Bavli where this point is brought, and Tosfos says the vort is not so much that he knew all the languages. Many members of the Sanhedrin did. His specialty was you have a pasuk in Ezra and in Nehemiah that calls him Mordechai Bilshon. And the word Bilshon comes from the word Bayil Lishni. He knew how to mix languages. So you could have, somebody could say something to him partly in one language and partly in another, and he would know how to figure out what they're talking about. That was his special talent, which the other members of the Sanhedrin did not necessarily have. There's a famous vort, by the way, that says on it that this was saying Psachia ze Mordechai, relate that there's a famous vort that relates it to a pasuk. V'hoyer eshischa mitzar, your beginning will be very small. V'achrischa, and your end yisgemaoid, will grow very great. If we look at the mathematical relationship between the names Psachia and Mordechai, so we start out with mem is 40, he is 80, so it's half, it's smaller. Resh from Mordechai is 200. The corresponding letter in Psachia is a tof, 400. And the same thing, Dalet and Ches. So the beginning, when it comes to Mordechai, is small. But then Bacharischa, then the end, Yiske Ma'od, is very great, because the chof of Mordechai is twice the yud of Psachia, and the yud of Mordechai is twice the hey of Psachia. So within that name itself, you have this the idea of that pasuk express. Anyway, the Mishnah continues, Benachia Chole Me'ayim. Benachia was in charge of stomach aches. He was the doctor on staff in the Bis Mikdash. And again, he had a whole bunch of physician assistants and whatever you have, like in a doctor's office nowadays, working underneath him. Why they needed that, the Gemara explains. You think about it, the Kohenim were wearing only 4 begodim. In particular, most of their body is covered only with a ksoines. They're walking barefoot. When they're on duty in the Bis Mikdash, they're eating lots of meat from the korbanos. They're drinking water because they can't drink wine while they're serving in the Bis Mikdash. So they would tend to get stomach aches. So Achia, this Ben Achia, knew in particular, the Gemara mentions that he knew particularly what kinds of wines are good for what kinds of stomach upsets, and he would treat them accordingly with wines and various medicines.
10 nisim in the Bis Mikdash, right?
The what? 10 nisim, yeah.
You couldn't make another nest.
Couldn't make another nest. They shouldn't get stomach aches. They shouldn't. I don't know. anyway, Nechunya Koyfershichin. Nechunya was in charge of digging ditches. They needed a water supply for the Bis Mikdash, specifically for Yerushalayim in general, especially for all the Oilei Regel. So his job, as the Gemara is going to say, he was a specialist. All these people were specialists in their field. So Nechunya was a specialist in knowing where to dig and to find water. Gvini Koroiz, Gvini was the announcer, whereas the Gemara is going to go and explain, he was the one. Every morning you had to have somebody announce in a really loud voice, it's time for the Kohenim, Levium, and Yisraelim to come to their respective stations in this Mikdash. The Kohenim to do the Avodah, the Levium to be on the Duchan, to sing and play the instruments, and the Yisraelim, the members of the Anshe Maimed, to be there. So you needed somebody with a particularly loud voice, and his name was Gvini, and he would make these announcements. Chula, and there's others. Ben Bevai ala Pakia b'chula. Another one it mentions in the Mishnah is Ben Bevai was in charge of the Pakia. Now there's two possibilities what Pakia means. Here in our Gemara, in the Yerushalmi, it's going to end up explaining that it means he was in charge of making the whips for the Bis Mikdash. Every day they needed 7 new whips for the Menorah, so he was in charge of making sure that the whips were made the right size and shape. You also had, for example, like this, the Gemara mentions, the Bavli mentions in Menachos, that every day they would use a half lug of oil for each lamp of the menorah. Now, on a short summer's night, you're not going to necessarily have enough time for all of that oil to burn up. And during the Chachamim figured out, the Pashtus already in Moshe Rabbeinu his times, that the longest night you're ever going to need in Tkufas Tevis, you need a half a lug. And then during the rest of the year, if some is left over, then fine, so be it. But Ben Bevai was in charge, for example, he could make the wicks thicker and thinner different times during the year to make it take up more or less oil so that the oil will get properly used up. That's one possibility. The Bavli mentions that possibility. The Bavli in Yuma mentions this possibility, but rejects that and instead says that Ben Bevei al Pakia means he was in charge of the whip. You have at the beginning of Masechet Midas, it describes that you have the Ish Harabayis who would circulate around among all the Mishmaris of Kohanim and Leviim who are standing guard in the Beis Mikdash by night. And if he saw that any of them was falling, whether it was asleep, then, and he tells him Shalom Aleichem and the guy doesn't respond, then, Choiv to B'makle, he would thrash him with a stick. So then the Gemara says that's the Pakia, he was a whip that he would give the guy a zetz with to wake him up. There is, by the way, a very fascinating explanation from Rav Levi Yitzchak, the Rebbe's father, on that Mishnah, about many, many details in that Mishnah. One thing he points out is the Leviim have the Leviim being that they're associated with Gevurah, they have the job of making sure, part of the job of Gevurah is to make sure that Chesed, that the Ashpa from the Eidosh doesn't go where it's not supposed to go. So they have the job, therefore, of guarding the Beis Hamikdash and preventing any klippas from getting in. So if a Levi is asleep, meaning that he's missing his bina, which is where Gevurah comes from, then the Isha Bayis tells him, Shalom Alecha, is at least your bina above you, in a makiftik way, and if not, then he whacks him with a stick, and that restores him his bina. And yeah, Rebbe Levick has a long, long arichus over there with all kinds of details about many different details in that Mishnah. So Ben Bevei, so according to the Bavli, then Ben Bevei was in charge of that, whereas according to the Yerushalmi, he was in charge of making wicks for the menorah. Okay, so let's focus on, now, where do these names come from? The Gemara goes on to mention, it's not here, in Ein Yaakov, there's two opinions. One is that these are the first people who held these jobs in the second Beis Mikdash. So, for example, in the second Beis Mikdash, the one in charge of the Kinim was Mordechai. He came up from Shushan, he came to Eretz Yisrael, he's mentioned in the list of the leaders of the Jewish people in Ezra and in Nehemiah, so he was given the job a la Kinim. And then, so the Mishnah is listing who had each of these jobs at that time when the second Beis Hamikdash was built. The other opinion in the Gemara is Kshere Der V'Der. It's listing in each position who was the most kosher, who was within each position. You had over the 420 years of the second Beis Hamikdash, you must have had many people filled each position. Which one was the most kosher out of all of them, and he's the one whose name gets to be memorialized in the Mishnah. There is an interesting explanation that actually kind of combines the two that says what they did was they had the, for example, with Psachya Alakinim, the first one was actually named Psachya. The second one, when Mordechai passed away, there would be somebody else took over the job. But they would give, whatever his name was, they was given by his bris, his title as Alakinim would be Psachya. And the same thing with Ben Achia, and the same thing with each of the other ones. So that it's both. In other words, it's the first one as well as the Kshedim of each generation. Anyway, so Psachya Alakinim, let's focus on him. Tony, Psachya is a Mordechai. So we learn in a Braisa again that Psachya is a Mordechai. Boyerei kamagodo koyach shal oisa ish. Come see how powerful, what a tremendous koyach in languages that he had. Shepaseach dvorim v'gershon. That, as the Mishnah said, he's able to unlock things and douse in them. V'yadeh b'shivim loshen. And then he knows all 70 languages, and again, not just knows them fluently, but that he knows how to mix with mixtures of different languages to be able to figure out what's going on. So the Gemara says, Tony, we learn in a Braisa, when you have a city where there are two people in it who are capable of speaking the 70 languages, and all of them are capable of understanding the languages. Now, of course, as we all know, it's possible to understand a language and still not be able to speak it. So all the members of the Sanhedrin had to know all the languages, and the reason is, as the Gemara explains in a few places, Shaloite Sanhedrin Shemas Mipia Turgamon. You can't have, when Edom are going to come in front of the Beis Din, that they should have to go through an interpreter. Because inevitably, that's going to distort something of what the Edim said. So they have to be able to know whatever language the Ed is going to be speaking in, the Sanhedrin has to be able to understand him. But to be able to speak, not necessarily all of them have to. So, Harezu Ru'uyel Sanhedrin. So such a city is suitable to have a Sanhedrin because now they have enough people of the caliber to be, at least as far as that detail, that they're capable of having a Sanhedrin. Shloisha Harezu Beinanis. If you have three people in the city who know how to speak all the languages, then that's an average city. When you have four of them, then that's exceptional. Then that's an exceptionally wise basting. So, Biyavna, how you David. In fact, in the Sanhedrin in Yavna, after the Churban, there were four people like that who knew all the languages. Ben Azeo, Ben Zerma, who knew how to speak them. Ben Azeo, Ben Zerma, Ben Masya, Bachanina, Ben Chachinai. And so the Gemara gives some examples of what happened with Psachia Zemordechai, how he was able to, how he was able to understand things that nobody else could. So the Gemara tells a story. It's also the Bible. He also tells it in Menachos. Pamachas Yovsha Eretz Yisrael. One time there was a drought in Eretz Yisrael. V'lo yodu mehechem l'havi ha'omer. So they didn't know where they're going to bring the barley for the Korban Omer. Usually they would bring it from the fields close to Yerushalayim. The Bavli, actually, when it tells the story, mentions it, and it mentions a different reason why there was no barley available. It mentions this was at the time of the civil war between the two brothers, Hyrcanus and Aristobulus. The Bavli tells the story in a few places. They were in Menachos, in Bava Kamma, etc., about there were two brothers from the later Hashmonaim who were fighting between themselves which one is going to be the king. And Josephus tells the story in much, much greater detail. Anyway, the kitzur between the armies fighting one against the other, the fields all around Yerushalayim were devastated. But here the Yerushalmi is saying it's not even so much that. Maybe the armies would have Akaponim, they would, no matter what, even though they were Sedukim, they were whatever, they still would have realized the importance of bringing the Korban Omer, and they would have made sure to leave some area available, but then there was a drought on top of that, and therefore said there was nothing available. So they didn't know where they were going to bring the Omer. So there was a mute man. He couldn't speak, but he was putting one hand on a roof and the other hand on a hut. Srif is like a little conical, a little cone shaped hut that people would use like when they're hunting or whatever, they would use as a temporary place to live. So they didn't know what he's getting at. I soon come made to Psachia, so they brought him to Psachia to find out what he's talking about. Omalahu, so Psachia understands, and he asks him, Is Asad Mikri Gagos Tzrifin et Tzrifin Gagos? Is there any place that you know of in Eretz Yisrael named Gagos Tzrifin or Tzrifin Gagos? That's what he's hinting at. Gagos and Tzrifin. Oslul Tamon, sure enough, they knew of a place called Gagos Tzrifin in Vashkuchun, and sure enough, they found barley there, and they were able to bring the Korban Omer. There is, by the way, a place fairly near Kfar Chabad called, there's a town there called Tzrifin, and nowadays there's an Israeli army base over there. There used to be a village there in the times of the Gemara called Tzrifin. Some say that is the Gagas Tzrifin of our story over here. So in that case, then, that year, they brought the Korban Omer from the area near Kfar Chabad. Now you think of it nowadays, and you know, nowadays it's an hour's drive from there to Yerushalayim if there's no traffic, but back then it must have been a much longer trip. The Derech Klal, they would try to bring from as close as possible to Yerushalayim, because you want the barley to be as fresh as possible, but here they had no choice. Amar Rabbi Yosi, and the Gemara continues, Amar Rabbi Yosi Rabun or Ben Bivun, Pamachas Yovsha Eretz Yisrael. Then there was also a time when there was a drought in Eretz Yisrael. They didn't know where they're going to get the wheat for the Shtei Alechem. The Bavli tells it as the same story, so in that case it was the same time during the civil war of Hyrcanus and Aristobulus, and at the same time again there was a drought. Again, there was a mute man. He was putting one hand on his eye, and the other he was putting on the hole in the door that the bolt goes into. So again, they didn't know what he wants. I soon in the came to Psachia, so they brought him to Psachia. Omalahu, he asked them, Is Asad Dimitri Ein Socher, Dimitri Ein Socher? Is there a place called Ein Socher? Because that's what it is, Ein for the eye and Socher for the Sichra, for the hole in the door. Oswald Taman, they went there, Vashkechon, and sure enough, they found, Vod Shamaisa Achokeitz Velo, and the Yerushalmi goes on to tell, and the Yerushalmi over here, and the Bavli and Menachos goes on to tell a couple of more stories that illustrate how Psachia was able to understand things that nobody else could. Next, Nechunya Choifer Shifin. So we said one of the ones in the Mishnah was Nechunya the ditch digger. So his specialty was Choya Choifer Shifin Ma'aras. He was digging ditches and caves for them to store water, for them to be able to have. Again, they needed a large water supply for the Oile Rego. In particular, his specialty, he was a geologist. He knew what rocks will produce water, where if you dig and where if you drill in these rocks, you're going to find a spring of water. He also would know under what rocks you're going to find heat. And how far that heat extends, which tells us therefore how much water is going to come out of you. In other words, you have some places where the water will come out under pressure. Sometimes that pressure is created by underground heat. So he was an expert in geology, so he knew this kind of thing to be able to figure out where is there heat underground over here, which is if we dig or we drill over here, then the heat is going to push up the water out of the ground. So he had a tremendous schus that he's providing water for all of the, Oile Regel. Nevertheless, Amrav Acho mes b'nei b'tzom. Nevertheless, Nechunya's own son passed away of thirst. Because in other words, because the Eibishter is, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, the Eibishter is medaktik and tzadikim chut asayra. So even though, as the Gemara is going to go on to tell a different story with a chosid echad, now that a daughter was saved in the course of his well digging, but here on the other hand was saying, but on the other hand, the Eibishter is also medaktik and tzadikim chut asayra, and therefore didn't save his son. So Omer of Chanina, so Rav Chanina says in this connection, Manda Omer Rachmana Vatran Hu. If a person thinks that Hashem is foregoing, in other words, a person is going to say, okay, so I did an Aveira, big deal. Hashem's a nice guy and he'll ignore it. Yivatran B'nei Me'ah. A person like that, talks like that, deserves that his kishkis should be let loose. Which can mean that he has diarrhea, or it can mean even Hakosev and Eitz Yosef over here both point out there's a Gemara in Chulin that talks about how carefully and how exquisitely the Bnei Me'ayim, all the kishkas, are arranged inside the body, such that the Gemara mentions if they come out for any reason, if a person is injured or something and they come out, they have to be put back in exactly the places they were, otherwise the person's not going to be able to survive. So now a person who talks like that about Hashem and says, Hashem is willing to overlook things, Hashem doesn't care, then he deserves that his kishkas should be let loose and not put back in the proper order, meaning in other words that he's not going to have long to live. Because the point is, it shouldn't say that Hashem just overlooks. Elamarich ruchay, Hashem is patient. Hashem is erech hapayim. The govi delay, but Hashem collects what's coming. In other words, the problem with saying Hakadosh Baruch Hu vatra and who is it's gonna lead people to think, okay, so you did an aveira, big deal. It's not so bad. No, realize that an aveira is a very, very serious thing. Elamai, the Eibishter gives you. The Eibishter is erech hapayim, and he gives you lots of opportunities for tshuva. But eventually, the govi delay, eventually the Eibishter is going to collect what's coming. If a person doesn't do tshuva, then there's going to be an oynish. And if not, then if he does do tshuva, then zdonis nasim loy kishgogus or kizachius, as the case may be. In this connection, Amar Abachar, see, the pasuk says, Sviva nisara ma'oi. The pasuk says, around Hashem is very nisara. The simple meaning of nisara is maloshin sa'ora, means a storm. But it means sa'ora maloshin a hair, medaktik imam kachut asayra. Those who are around Hashem, those who are close to Hashem, the tzaddikim, Hashem is particular with them to a hair's breadth. Meaning, as we know, the kinds of averus that Hashem might say by a regular person, fine, you know, Hashem will, so to speak, make excuses for him. But by a tzaddik, there's no excuses. Omer Rav Yosi, lo mehatam hazeh, but Rav Yosi says it's not really because of that pasuk, because after all, the word sa'ora in that pasuk doesn't necessarily mean a hair, it means a storm. Elam in dichtiv, rather you have a different pasuk expresses the same point, v'noro hu akol svivav, Hashem is awesome over all of those who are close to him, meaning, v'noro hu minak krovim, yosim minar achokim, so Hashem is feared and awed by those who are close to him, by the tzaddikim, more than by those who are far away. The famous mushal that's always given for it is like a pure white shirt where even the tiniest stain on it makes a difference as opposed to a colored shirt. It's not going to be as noticeable. So we're talking about tzaddikim, right? So even a simple person shouldn't say the Eibishter is a vatran. We're saying though that what we'll say is that the Eibishter is more willing to accept. Okay, you know, I understand you made a mistake. I understand you had a yetzahara, you had a whatever. So I'm more willing to accept your tshuva even for example a while later. Whereas for example by Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, no matter what, you hit the rock, nothing doing. Al Hashem al tambi, and then that's it. Yeah. Yeah, so we're saying, in other words, by tzaddikim is even more so, but even by a regular person, he can't say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran, oh yeah. Eitz Yosef brings a point over here from Sifri Musar that you have to ask, I mean, it's normal, a person with good midas should be a Vatran. Why taka shouldn't the Eibishter be? We find, for example, Yer Vatran Mamoina Hoya, should the Eibishter be any less than that? And the answer is basically that the Naveda creates a Pagam in the world, and therefore something has to happen as a result of that Pagam. Either the person does traverse and fixes up the Pagam, or, as the Pasuk expresses it, Hatoim Taradif Ra, a person's own Averas are going to chase after him and pursue him, and he's going to be in trouble because of them. So in other words, for the Eidoshter to be a Vatron in that sense would be like to say that this Pagam doesn't mean anything. And what do you mean? It means a great deal. So the Gemara goes on. Rav Chagai b'shem Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni. It happened with a certain chosid who used to dig boris shichin ma'oris, various kinds of water pits for passersby. So this is not the same nechunya choyfer shichin as in the Mishnah, because that one was, first of all, that one was in the time of the Bis Mikdash. Here we're going to say this was in the times of Rav Pinchas ben Yair, who was a couple of generations after. The Bavli has Rav Pinchas ben Yair as a, and in Shabbos has Rav Pinchas ben Yair as Rav Shimon ben Yochai's, as Rav Shimon ben Yochai's father-in-law. The Zohar has him as a son-in-law, right? I think actually I have that the other way around. Whatever, before we should discuss which one, the ben Yehoyada, in fact, corrects the Gemara to match the Zohar. Whatever the case, he's in the generation of Rav Shimon ben Yochai, which is sometime after the Churban. So this is Chosid Echad of our story over here is not the same in the Chun Yochai for Shichin. He was a different Chosid Echad who was taking on himself to supply water for thirsty Jews. The Bavli, actually, when it tells the story, does tell it about Nechon Yechoy for Shichin, and instead the tzaddik in the story is not Reb Pinchas ben Yair, but rather Reb Chanina ben Dosa, who Taka lived still in the time of the Bis Mikdash. Anyway, so it could be the story happened twice. Anyway, his daughter was passing by, she was on her way to get married. The shot for Nahar and a river swept her away. So everybody thought she had drowned. So everybody was coming to the Chosid Echad's house. They wanted to be Menachem Avol him that his daughter passed away. He didn't want to accept. He didn't want to accept the Tanchumin, which in fact there was good reason for it. You know, Alderach, like it says by Yaakov, we knew that by Yemorin Leisnachen, because subconsciously he realized that Yosef is still alive, and a person doesn't accept Tanchumin over those who are alive. But nevertheless, people were wondering. And so I skipped a line. Oda Pinchas ben Yor Lagabe. So the Pinchas ben Yor came to visit him to be Menachem Avol. Boy Menachamte, and the Pinchas ben Yor is also trying to be Menachem Avol. But like Kibbal Aloy Leis Nachma. And he still didn't want to accept the Nichumin. Oma Lahoin, so the Pinchas ben Yor says to the other people, Dein hu chasid choin, as a uichmer a chosid. What kind of a chosid is that he's not willing to accept the Eidosh's judgment? Omruloi, so they told him, Rebbe kacha kacha ya'ose. This is what he's always doing. He's always digging ditches and wells and pits for people to be able to have water. The kacha kacha yiroloi. And this is what happened to him, that his daughter was drowned. Omar, so the Pinchas ben Yair says, Efshe have a machabed bore b'mayim. Could it be possible that he's honoring the Eidoshter with water, the kipche b'mayim, and he would be cut off with water, that his daughter would be drowned in water? Now, difference is, so before we should talk about, so what about Nechunya and his son? So one point is, Nechunya's son passed away from a lack of water. That's different than over here, that the actual water itself should be the cause of her death. That, Reb Pinchas ben Yair says, can't be. Miyad nofla havora ba'ir. Right away, there was a commotion in the city. And the daughter came. She had been saved from the flood, after all. Some say that she held on to a sichta, which would be Hakosev explained in the branch, and Eitz Yosef says it means a peg, whatever, like she grabbed onto it or snagged onto it or whatever, and was saved that way. The ikadami malach yored bid musra Pinchas ben Yair v'etzila. Others say a malach in the form of Pinchas ben Yair came down and saved her in the schus of her father. The Bavli, when it tells over the story, tells it with a number of different details. Tells that she fell into a big pit that her father, that Nechon Yechoy for Shichin, had dug. And that people come to Reb Chanina ben Dosa, and the first hour he tells them she's still okay, she hasn't drowned. The second hour she hasn't drowned. The third hour, by which time there's no way she could have survived, he tells them she's gotten out safely. Afterwards, they ask her what happened. They say, she tells them an old man with a ram, accompanied by a ram, came and saved me. That was Avram Avinu, accompanied by the ram from the Akedah, and it represents, because Nechunya had been doing such chesed always for Jews, digging these wells and everything that they afford. That schus saved his daughter. And when they asked Reb Chanina, are you a Novi or something? How do you know when she's safe and when she got out? Doesn't learn Novi Anochi, will have been Novi Anochi, but again, it's not possible that the very thing, the very water that he did such chesed to Jews for, that his daughter should drown in it.
This is my Bible.
In the Bavli, it's in Yevamos and in, I think, in Tainus.
We did Tainus,
yeah. So I don't remember actually if it's in Tainus. It's definitely in Yevamos. It's also someplace else, but yeah. Okay. So the next one in the Mishnah was Gvini Koros, Gvini the announcer, and he was called that. So Yamachu is Vivis Mikdash. He would make the announcement in the Vivis Mikdash. Maho Yomer, he would call out, Imdu Akoinim La Avoida, Koinim, get up and be ready for your Avoida, or Leviim Luduchonim, Leviim, be ready for your Duchon, to sing and play the instruments in the Vivis Mikdash, Vyisrael, Ma'amodam, and Yisraelim, be ready for the Maimon. So Agrippa Samelach, Shoma Kola Berichu Kshmona Parsois. One time Agrippa Samelach, who was a couple of decades before the Churban, heard Gvini's voice from 8 parsa away. Now parsa is somewhere between 2.5 and 3 miles. So you're talking about, something like 15 to 25 miles. The Nosan Lematonis Haben, he was so impressed that when he came to Yerushalayim, he gave Gvini a lot of presents. Mind you, there's actually a Gemara in the Bavli and Yuma mentions that Gvini's voice could be heard from 10 parsa away, but here we're saying that Agrippas happened to be 8 parsa away and hear it. Next, Ben Devai al Fakia, we said. No microphone, exactly. Ben Devai al Fakia, again, showing Mizaigas Apsilis, he was in charge of matching up the wicks, meaning, in other words, cleaning the material for the wicks and making them that they should do the job and they should burn well. So the Gemara tells in this connection, Rabbi Yossi Ola Kufri, Rabbi Yossi one time visited the city of Kufri, Boil Mamni Alohin Parnosim. He wanted to appoint certain people as Parnosim on the Tzibur, as leaders, whether Rabbonim or Rosh HaKohel or whatever, Volei Kablin Alehin, those people who he nominated for that did not want the job. Chosach for Omer Kademehen, so Rabbi Yossi started explaining to them, listen to what it says in the Mishnah, Ben Devei Alapakia. Consider this guy, Ben Devai, is only in charge of making the wicks for the Bais HaMikdash, not L'chora, such an important thing. And yet he has the schus to be listed in the Mishnah together with Mordechai and together with other great tzaddikim. So you who are going to be in charge of lives, because you're going to be responsible for the kohol, how much more so that you should accept the job when you're suitable for it. B'chol, the Gemara talks about that the same way as, for example, a person has to be careful when he's not Roy Lohira to not take on himself to be Moy Lohira, but on the other hand, when he is Roy and there's nobody else who is, then he shouldn't do false humility or whatever, he should take it on. Incidentally, as far as the wicks for the Bais Mikdash, there's a famous thing that says about Devorah that her husband, she's Eishes Lapidus. Why is she called Eishes Lapidus? Because her husband was an Amoret. So she tells him, you should have, at least you don't have the schus of learning Torah, at least you should have the schus of making wicks for the Mishkan. And he did, and for that is why she herself became a Nevua in the schus of that she was Ma'orah her husband to do that mitzvah. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ugo'ola. For Dalad Tishrei, we have the avoda of Kol Yemei Chayach Alahavi L'Moyse Mashiach, that every moment has to be focused on bringing Mashiach. That could be, and it has to be, even at this moment. That means that we arouse ourselves with a strength from that comes from the Etzem HaNeshama by adding one more mitzvah. And as the Rambam famously says, that you have the world is exactly half balanced, or at least you have to consider it half balanced, and you do one mitzvah. And Chriyas Kol Olam as himself and the whole world, L'Kaf Sfus, and he brings for everybody true about Solom. This is not even talking about when we're talking about high-level things that have to do with Yechida, like Torah Sachsidah, like learning and spreading Torah Sachsidahs. This is even, and even more than mainly, in Yonim Shutin, for example, giving a Yid's Gashmiyistika needs that have to do with him having a Neshama Beguf. So that's the kind of one mitzvah that can tip the scale for the entire world. Some halachas of Aseres Metruva. So Aseres Metruva, as the name indicates, is days for Truva. A person has a responsibility during that time before Yom Kippur to do tshuva, as we said in today's atura, Dirsha Hashem Bihimotze, and Bihimotze, when is Hashem most readily found, is during these 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So a person has to make a cheshbon on nefesh and go through, and especially when he has a sofek avera, he needs even more tshuva than a vade avera, because a person has a vade avera, sure, he feels bad about it. But a person has a sofek avera, he's going to start rationalizing, it probably wasn't really an avera, and we find taka by an oshem toloi that has to be worth a lot more than it has to be. The Gemara makes a calculation, it has to be worth like 96 times what a chatas would be, it has to be worth 2 sloyim, as opposed to a chatas could be worth only a ma, and if you make the calculation, it comes to 96 times as much. And the same idea, because in other words, an oshem toloi, a person needs a greater degree of tshuva for. He brings from the Ramak of it. So a person has to increase in Torah and mitzvahs and tzedakah and then not do as much business. In fact, he brings from the Ramak that a person should treat these days of Aseres Metrova like Chalamoy and only do the necessary kinds of malacha, and then especially to fix up things by Naram Lachavere, because as we know, in Yom Kippur Mechaper, actually, that's Chavere.
Stress.